Okay, so we're at Daf Chafbeis. Matzia about Daf Chafbeis, page 22a about Matzia. So if you remember from yesterday, we had a machloket between Abaye and Rava about Yair Shlomidad. Yair Shlomidad means somebody lost something, but they don't even know that they lost it. When they find out that they lost it, they'll make Yeish. For the meantime, you have it. So are you allowed to keep it even after they make Yeish? So according to Abaye, lo have a Yeish. It's not Yeish because right. In other words, when you got it, it was like Yisur Baliyadeh, is the way Abayi would say it. But Rava holds, no, it's Haba Yeyush, and then you're in good shape. So we've been asking a series of questions. The questions have been mostly. Well, in other words, the person doesn't even know he's lost it. So there's no Yeyush right now as we speak. But eventually he will make Yeyush. Eventually he will make Yeyush. Okay, so we're just starting on Chafbeis and Aleph. So we've been asking a series of questions. The questions have mostly been going against Abaye and in favor of Rava. We had one sort of both, but that's the way it's been going. But at the end of the day, it's going to be the luck is like Abaye in this situation. So let's look on Chafbeis and Aleph, 5 lines down, 6 lines down. Tashma. So the Gemara quotes a braisa. It says Shataf Nahar Kurabi Tzava Avanav. If a river washed away like Reuven's like building materials, his beams, his wood, his stones, he says, Unatanobito se chavero, and then the river delivers it to Shimon's property. You have it Chafbeis Amanala, around 6 lines down. Okay? It says Shatavnar Kurabi Sababadav, Nobito se chavero, are Elu Shalos. They belong to Shimon, the Bneshit Yashu Balin, because the Baalim made Yeish. So Rashi takes a look at the third wide line of Rashi, Reilu Bahule, he says, So Rashi says, when the river washes away stuff, it's like everybody knows about it. It's like there's been like a, you know, like we've had a lot of problems with the climate yesterday in different parts of the country and things like that. So when you get it like a, you know, a calamitous incident like this, everybody knows about it. They make Yeish. So the Gemara deduces from the Braisa, wants to extrapolate from the Braisa, Taman Yashu Balim. So the reason that Shimon can keep it is because the Baalim knew about it right away, and Mamela, now there's Yeish, you can keep it. Hastama lo. But the implication would be, had the Baalim not known about it, that you couldn't keep it. In other words, had the Baalim not known about it, you could not keep it. So, right, so this is a question, like Yosef is saying, it's a question against Rava, So it's a little bit of a difficult twist here in the Gemara. Hakmai Askinan, it's sort of atypical. Hakmai Askinan, the way the Ritva understands this, it's the diuk is off. In other words, in Achinami, if it would be something without a siman, whether the Baalim know about it or they don't know about it, according to Rava, you're home free. In Achinami, if that would be the only issue in the Braisa. But the issue in the Braisa does not turn, in other words, the Pshat in the Braisa is not the way we just said it. So the Gemara says, Hakabai Askinan, yeah, Hola Hatzil. So the Gemara says that in the diuk, in other words, in the first case in the Braisa, he wasn't able to save it. So therefore, he's making Yeish. He's not able to save the item. In the diuk from it means if he would be able to save the item, then all bets are off. So the Gemara says, Ihachi ema seifa. If that's the case, let me do the seifa of the Braisa around line 10. If the true owners were pursuing the chefza, then you're obligated to return it to the original owner. So if it's something that the person could have saved, whether he's running after it now or not, so the implication would be that you couldn't keep it. So my nami. So the Gemara says, with difficulty you could save it, meaning if you act right away, you could save it. So then Muradpin lo yosh. So if they're chasing after the chefza to retrieve it, that's a semen, they're not making Yeish. A Muradvin, Yushay Miyash. If they're not Murade, so they are making Yeish. Okay, let's go over this again and then we'll call it a day. So again, so we have the Machloka just repeating again between Abai and Rav about Yeish Lomidad. Yeish Lomidad means the person lost something and the finder picks it up. And right now the owner doesn't even know he lost it, but when the owner does find out he lost it, he will make Yeish. So according to Abaye, lo have a Yeish. That doesn't do anything for you. Tough luck. And according to Rava, you're good. You're home free. So the Gemara asked the question from Rava from this Braisa. The Braisa made it sound like that if they know about it, if the person knows that he contemporaneously knows that the river washed away his property, then Shimon, who's the one who got the property, could keep it. But the implication would be if he doesn't know about it right away, that he couldn't keep it. So that's a kasha against Rava. In other words, even though he will make Eish later on. So the Gemara says, no, we misunderstood the Braisa. The Braisa, in Achinami, according to Rava, the bones said the Braisa, if a person loses something and it doesn't have a siman, whether I know he made Yeish, didn't make Yeish, in Achinami, you can keep it. Here, the issue which is taking place is in the beginning of the Braisa, it means that the Baalim couldn't save it. In other words, it washed away in a situation where the Baalim couldn't save it under any circumstances. There, Shimon is allowed to keep it. But in the diuk that the Gemara has is that if they could save it, then all bets are off. All bets are off. So if we type up the Braisa a little differently, there's no kasha against Rava. All right. Any questions, comments, thoughts? Right. Let's wait 10, 20 lines. We'll get to it. Okay. Now let's see back in the Gemara. So the Gemara says Tashma. The Gemara brings another proof. And this is going to be a kasha against Abaye. As I said, most of the questions seem against Abaye. Tashma. He said, "I'm ruah torim shlomi da truma to truma." Under what circumstances, if a person is a farmer, he has crops. So he has to give truma from the crops. Let's say, and we think in the Havamin as somebody is taking the truma without the person's knowledge or permission. So Reuben will be the farmer, and Shimon, his neighbor, goes and takes truma without his knowledge. When do we say that it is an effective designation of truma? If Shimon went to Reuben's field and he gathered and he separated truma without Reuben's permission, if Reuven, the owner, he doesn't want that. He's choshesh that, you know, this is thievery. The guy's coming to my property. I don't know what he's doing. So then the designation of truma is not effective. Vim lav truma to truma. But if that's not the case, then it would be an effective designation of truma. Uminayin hu yodea. How do you know whether the person is signing off on it or not? Uminayin hu yodea im choshesh mishum gezel vim lav. Hare shabab ala bayidu mitza'o. If the balabayid, if Reuven shows up and finds Shimon, and he says to Shimon, oh, you should have taken even better crops to separate the truma. And he says, why did you take, you know, the grade B crops to separate truma? You should have taken the grade A crops. He says, if indeed there are better crops, in other words, is he being cynical or not? In other words, if he really has better crops, truma to truma, then the designation is an effective designation. Bim lav, ain't truma to truma. But if not, it's not an effective designation of truma. Or in the alternative, if the true owner, i.e. Reuven, he designates additional crops for truma in addition to what Shimon did, he says, so whether he's got better crops or not, then he's so in other words, so in order to designate truma, the owner has to sign off on it. It has to be with his knowledge and consent. But the Gemara is saying that sometimes we think the neighbor or someone is separating the truma without the owner's knowledge and consent. And if the owner later on signs off on it, then we take it that, like, retroactively, it is a good designation. You see where we're headed with this. So the Gemara says, now the Gemara asks, so if there are better crops, it is good truma. So am I? So at the time that the truma was designated, the owner didn't know about it, right? In other words, so again, Shimon is designating the truma, and Reuben doesn't know anything about this. And then later on, Reuben comes home and he sees the truma. So if he, you know, makes a statement or through his actions, he shows that he's happy with the designation of truma, then it's an effective designation of truma. So it means I have. In other words, an action, and it requires the knowledge and satisfaction of the owner. And if he later on evinces that intent, so retroactively, we'll say that it applied even when Shimon designated the truma. So in the same way with Yeish, right? In other words, so if a person picks up a chefza and the true owner hasn't made Yeish yet, but later on he makes Yeish, so Rava says as good as like proactively it was made Yeish. So this price that supports Rava and it's Akasha against Abaye. Everybody good with that or not? Okay? All right? Are you good, Odeid? Yeah. So Brera is a little different. Brera is where you're designating Brera is my later on my Brera is I do an action the owner does an action, and later on it becomes clear which thing he wanted it to be. So that's great, right? I have two parts to it. Here it's somebody else doing it. In other words, he's totally the way we think, nothing to do with me. Somebody walks on my property and does it, and later on I'm adopted. You know what I mean? In other words, like with Brera, let's say I put an Eruv to the east, I put an Eruv to the west. And I say, whichever way my Rebbe's coming, that'll be my Eruv. I put an Eruv east, west, north, south. And so whichever my way Rebbe comes on Shabbos, that'll be the Eruv from Shabbos. So I did one act, and then later on it'll be clear which act is affected. Or I'm saying, like, 10% of this fluid will be maaser. And then later on I'm separating the mice, and now it's clear what my designation was. Here the owner is not even making a designation, he's not doing anything. There was somebody else, like from the Beltarai, came to the property and did everything. And then later on he's signing on to it. So the Gemara says, so that seems like support of Rava, and it seems like a kasha against the body. That's what we think. So the Gemara says, Tirgum Rava Libadabai. So Rava helps out Abaye. In other words, Rava, intellectually honest, he helps out Abaye. He says, the Shav Yishliya. So Rava says the Braisa is not talking about somebody from the Beltharim came to the property. Indeed, Reuven had appointed Shimon to be a Shliach to separate the Truma. And we'll see what the issue is. So Hachinami Mistabra, that's logical. The Isak Hadaita Lo Shav Yishliach, if you would think that the way it was, the way I originally described it, that Reuven never said anything to Shimon, Shimon shows up and starts doing things, we have your Truma to a Truma. Would the Truma ever be good in a circumstance like that? Ba'atem gam atem amar rachmana. So it says in Parshas Korach, kein tarimu gam atem. So too, you will, take the truma gam atem. Gam, the rabot shluch hachem. So Chazal darshan out that gam is the rabot shluch hachem, to include the shliach, meaning ma'atem l'datchem. Just like when you do it, it's with your knowledge because you were obviously doing it. If you appoint to shliach ahead of time, then that's with your knowledge. That's an effective designation of truma. So then, what are we dealing with? Could go into Shavi Shliach, but Amalei Zil Trom is that Reuven said to Shimon, "I want you to take Truma for me." So Shimon is fully authorized to take the Truma. Below Amalei Trom Mehani, he didn't say, which ones to take from. Gutarim. So the average Balabas, he takes me Beinoni, means like the average, like A, B, and C crop. He'll take the B crop for Truma. And he said, Shimon, he went from the A crop and he took the truma. In other words, he's got a certain amount of tevuah with me, wheat, whatever it is, and he's got the A, B, and C wheat. So the balabas says, take truma. He doesn't say which one to do. And then Shimon says, oh, I'll take from the A crop. That'll be the truma. So obviously, the A crop, whatever the percentage is, it's worth more if it's the A crop than the B crop. So he says, and then the Balabas shows up and he finds Shimon and he's separated. He said, why didn't you even take better crop than that? So in the Mse'u Mehem, if indeed there is better crop, so Truma to Truma, then the Truma is a good designation. Otherwise, it's not a good designation. So it means that basically Shimon did act with authority. And we're not able to weigh in on our sugya with this at all. Now, one second, we have a little piece here. Let me see where this is. Tough days today. Let's see. Yeah, so this is in footnote 22. He has like this: the Torah's Chaim questions the Gemara's reconciliation of this brisa with the view of Abaye. So now we've reconciled the brisa So Rav is defending Abaye. This is his explanation. So the first Chaim says, although the agent was appointed in advance, the consent to separate Truma from the high grade product was granted only after the fact. According to Abaye, this consent should not be viewed as having been in effect at the time of the separation. Separation should therefore not be valid. In other words, we moved it over a little bit. In other words, it's just like moving the question a little bit over. In other words, originally we said that Shimon wasn't authorized to take Truma, and then later on, Reuben authorized him later on. And then it's like nunc pro tunc. Now for that, as we say in law. So, but the Gemara is saying, at the end of the day, though, Shimon wasn't authorized to take from the A crop, and then Reuven is like demonstrating the A crop is good. So, isn't that the same issue? In other words, can a later, later decision, qualify it? So he answers that Abai agrees that once the actual agency has been established, we may assume that whatever the principal agrees to in the end was his actual intent from the very beginning. And implicit in his original instruction. So, in other words, that's what he meant. In other words, he wants to say that that's what the Balabas meant originally. I appointed the shliach, and then when I said, "Yeah, you could have done it better," I mean, I'm very happy with that thing, and that's the way I would from the get go. All right, let me do a story, and then we'll break, and we'll take questions, comments, and thoughts. Okay. So the first wide line from the Gemara, yeah. So okay, the first wide line downstairs, Amemar Umarzutra Rabashi. I don't know, there's always three chachamim, and here we have three chachamim again. So Amemar, Masutra, and Ravashi, Iklal, the Bustana, Bar Isak. They came to the orchard of Mari Bar Isak. Iti Arise Tamare Rimoni. So Mari Bar Isak's sharecropper brought out dates and pomegranates. And we'll see in Tosis in a minute. Kamayu, he serves it to them. Now the sharecropper, he doesn't own the crops. In other words, he's going to divide it. He's going to divide it with the Balabas. But he takes off some of the fruit or the whatever the dates and the pomegranates, and he puts it in front of the Chachamim. Amemar Ravashi Akli. Amemar Ravashi ate it, and we'll see. They assume that the sharecropper would later on work out a deal with the Balabas that this would come from his portion. And he says, Marzutra lo achil. Marzutra didn't eat it. He was choshesh for gezel because he felt the sharecropper wasn't authorized to give, he's giving, being generous with somebody else's property. Adahachi atamari bar Isak. So in the meantime, Mari bar Isak shows up. Ashkechinu, he finds them there. But Amarle Larise, and Mari bar Isak says to his sharecropper, Amailo Aitu the Rabbanan Mihanach Shapirta. Why didn't you bring from like these nicer fruit? In other words, so it sounds like he's signing off on it. That's what it sounds like. So, but notwithstanding that, Marzutra still refused to eat the fruit. So Amarle Amemar Ravashi Marzutra. How come now you're not eating? So my Lamar. Bahatanya, we learned the Brice, and this Brice we just went over, Mehen, if there are like with the Truma, if there's better crop, and he says, why didn't you go to the better crop? Truma to Truma. Amar Lahu, Hakim Rava. So Marzutra says, this is what Rava said. Lo Amru Klakesal Yafo, only in Truma Babad. That statement, Klakesal Yafo, it works by truma, yishum de mitzvah hu v'nichalei. In other words, I ask somebody to separate the truma, so I say klak etzel yapo. It's in akinami. It makes sense that I want to do a mitzvah. Aval hacha yishum ksifutu hu da amar hachi. Here with this host, I think the host was just like embarrassed. Like here you would put it out for us, and maybe he felt a little like a little obligated, right? So he said he didn't really. He didn't really mean what he was saying. Let's do Tosfos, then we'll talk a little bit more.
You're also assuming there were better fruits.
Yeah, that's what I'm right. So let's look at the right. Okay, let's see the last Tosfos. Okay, so Marzutra Loachal, everybody with me? Marzutra Loachal, Vim Tomar, Viamai Loachal. Why didn't he eat? Amar Rava Perkakos Abatra, with Dafyomi, we just did this. He says, Arisa Midanafshe Kazava. The Arisa is giving from his own property. The Gemara in Bava Kama is talking about the Aris brought something from his house. So the Gemara is talking about it was after they had divided the crops and he brings it from his house and that's his. Well, Hacha Shivim and Apardes, here the Aris lives in an orchard. The Aris is helping himself to the pomegranates and the dates that are in from the Apardes. Hashfosheshmar Zutra, Shemeshat Chaluka, Lunyamar He was afraid that the Arius would not say when they divided. In other words, like maybe Mari Bar Isak wouldn't even show up. In other words, so he's afraid that the Aris, when it comes to divide the crops up, that the Aris should say, I gave a portion, to these Chachamim who showed up, that has to come off my share. Let's say I'm entitled to half the crop. So, but it's not going to be half because I gave away part of my half to them. So he was afraid that he wouldn't say anything to the owner. He says, Rav Ashi, lo yako sheish was that. Rav Ashi wasn't worried about that, meaning, ulachach achal kodesh ba mari bar isak. In other words, he felt the Aris will do it, and he's giving from his own property. The he can't say, it was, what was Rav Ashi saying? Rav Ashi's eating. What is he thinking? We can't say that Rav Ashi was relying on the fact that Mari Bar Isak would say fine when he shows up. The halacha kabaye. Rav Ashi is living after the time of Abaye Rava. The halacha is like Abaye, which is Yeish Shlomidat Lo Abiyeish. So if you're giving me something and later on the person, so I'm eating something which is Isur, the Afflegav the Hashta Nikale, Nikarlo of a Nikale, even though he's expressing his consent later on, we don't know what was going on beforehand. Okay, so now, say again what? I don't know why. Let me see what it says. Let me see. Which line is it?
Second.
Listen. Yeah, I don't know why he just mentions Rav Ashi and not Amim. I don't know. Presumably the same thing would be with Amimar. I don't know. Either it's just presumably the same thing with Amimar, or where else Tosu could have a different gear. So that I assume that it's just like, it's Rav Ashi and Amimar lined up. Okay. Any other questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? Everybody good? In other words, it doesn't belong to him. In other words, when they divide it up, then it belongs to him.
3 months.
I mean, it's like, you're coming onto my property. You're taking something that doesn't belong to you. All right. Well, let me get this out.
Do you have a share of
the relation? You passed the mic up high. I don't think so. I don't think it should be. We should have canceled it. Okay. All right. This is cafes. All right, okay, I'm gonna move on. Okay, everybody with me? Okay, now, all right. He has a little bit of story. I'll go over the story here. There. So the Gemara retells an incident in which some Amoraim were walking together, and a sharecropper emerged from an orchard and placed some fruit before them. Two of the Amoraim ate the fruit, whereas the third refused to eat the fruit. Tosis questions the rationale behind the Amora who refused to eat the fruit when the Gemara in Baba Kama teaches that one is permitted to purchase produce from a sharecropper, since one can assume that he is giving you produce that is his rather than the landowner's fruit. In his analysis of the dispute between the Amoraim, Tosis writes that the Amoraim who ate the fruit did not eat the fruit because they assumed that when the owner would find out, he wouldn't mind because Allah calls the bayi ruled Yesh Lamidat Lo Yesh. Thus, even if it could be assumed that the owner would not mind when he discovers what occurred, it would still be prohibited to take the fruit without his prior knowledge. The Shach writes, so, I said the sharecropper is giving, but it's a Zaban, so it must mean he's selling it to somebody in the Gemara Baba Kama. So the Shach writes that from the comments of Tosfos, it's obvious that Shimon is not to take Reuven's food and give it to Levi, even if Shimon is confident that Reuven would not mind. It's like similar to what you were saying, Mike, before. In other words, if I'm in somebody's house, and Reuven is the host, and somebody needs food, I shouldn't go open the fridge and give somebody else's food to somebody. So the Shach takes issue with this ruling, claiming that the issue of Yer Shlomi Dad is not related to the question of Shimon giving Levi some of Gwyn's food. Cases involving Yer Shlomi Dad are circumstances which the owner has no choice but to abandon hope of recovering his object because he does not know where it is, so his only alternative is to have Yeish. When Levi eats Reuven's food that was given to him by Shimon, it is not because we assume that when Reuven will find out, he'll be left with no choice but to have Yeish. Rather, it is because we assume that Reuven wants Levi to eat this food. As such, it is considered as if it came into his possession in a permitted fashion. One second. He wants to say, in other words, he wants to say it's a little different than a case with Yeish. But all right, I'm going to move on. He says, what you're saying is the only have Yeish, right? All right, let me go on. Okay, now. Okay, everybody think? Okay, now, okay, so whoever, in other words, if the owner would make the bracha, but if the owner appoints a shliach, so the shliach would make the bracha. Okay, now, Tashma, two lines from the bottom, on Chafez Manala. Tashma, so this is talking about, Machshirim. So we've had this many times before. In order for food to be Mekabel Tuma, so it has to have one of the Shiva Mashkim go on ahead of time. But the mashka has to be either the person puts it on or he wants it to be on. Like the towel comes on and I see the towel and I'm happy that it went on the food. Okay, so the Gemara says Tashma Odeo Taleim Esama. So let's say a person left, it could be dates or figs or it could be some other fruit, and the towel, he left it on the roof, and then dew came down. And then the owner sees the dew, and he's happy that the dew came on it. Hareza v'chiyutan. It says in the pasuk, "Yutan mayimol." Because everyone says, "Ruach v'zareya." If water is put on, things that grow, that's a hechsher for tuma. So nagvu. If, on the other hand, when he sees the fruit already dried out. Afish samach. Even though he's happy because he realizes that the dew came on it, but it's dried off already. Einan v'chiyutan. Then it's not makabel tuma because at the time that the dew was on the fruit, he wasn't happy. So Tamamai, Lab Mishum Glominan came into line nil to the hashta nichale mikar namin nichale. This is a kasha against Rava. You don't say because now he's happy with it, we can apply retroactively his happiness to the earlier time.
Long Island Railroad.
One second. All right, so again, in other words, with the machshirim, it means the person has to know about it at the time. But if he doesn't know about it at the time, and later on after it's dried off, he's happy with it, we don't apply his satisfaction or his happiness retroactively, and so it's not mekabel tuma. So that's a kasha against Rabbah, because Rabbah says that even though the person makes yeish later on, we'll apply it retroactively to the time when he lost the chepta, right? So let's look at Rashi on the top. Rashi Einan b'chiyutan below Aminan came into hashta nicha. We don't say now that he's happy or satisfied, but Mahani haydai to the meikara to the hechsher b'kasha the rabba. So now we have a kasha against rabba. So now the wind is glit.
Why?
The big... But it means the Gemara assumes like you have intent. In other words, the key element is intent. So Yeish is like a state of mind, state of intent. Right. And whether we can apply that retroactively, the Gemara is assuming that the same intent here, with just like with Truma, I will have to be waited to hear. You could have asked it by Truma earlier. in other words, so the Gemara assumes that like just like if I need a person's like there was a designation, that I'm happy that Truma is designated. Here is I'm happy that the dew fell on the prude, but the Gemara takes it that you could do that. Okay, now, so he says, so this is a kash against Rava. So he says, again, the top line, my law, mishum delo rina, kibla yimilt the hashta nichle, mikar nami nichle. So the Gemara defends Rava. Shani hatam, dechiv, Kitain, Ad Shitain. So the Gemara says that, in other words, if you look in Chumash, the word is written Yud Taf Nun. We pronounce it Kiutan, the word will be given, but I could read it Kiitain, that he'll put it on. Now the Gemara, so I saw in the Masifta, they said that the person who was answering this question was trying to develop the answer more fully, but before he developed the answer more fully, he got interrupted. But the way we understand it right now, that Kiitain, that the person has to put the water on it. That's what we think. And it was Kiitain, that the person has to put the fluid on it, even put the fluid on it. Ihachi Reshinami. So if that's the case, what about the Reshin? He didn't put the fluid on it. So Hatam is Rav Papa. So the Gemara says over there, it's like Rav Papa, and this is really what the person meant originally. The Rav Papa Rami, Tiv Kitain, between a Kitain. In the Torah, it's written Kitain, but we read it, we pronounce it Kitain. Haketzad, Vainan Kitain, Dumi de Kitain. In other words, if the water is applied by another source other than the person himself, the application has to be similar to Kitain when a person puts it on. My Yitain Ladad, just like when I put it on, it's with my knowledge and consent, I'm happy with it. I'm putting the fluid on the food. Af Kiyutan Nami Ladad. So to Kiyutan also has to be with my contemporaneous knowledge and consent. That's what the drush of the Gemara has. So if the dew comes on the fruit, and I know about it at the time that the dew was on the fruit, and I'm happy with it, then it's a machshir. But if the dew is already dried off, so it's not dumia de kitain, and it was got to be with my knowledge and consent at the time. Kitain is if a person puts the fluid on it, kiutan, it shall be placed on it by some. It has to be similar to kiutain. Just like kiutain, I know about what I'm putting on because I'm putting it on. I'm happy with it because I'm putting it on. So too, the kiutan also I have to be happy with and know about it contemporaneously. All right. So we had a question against Rav, but William would deflect the question. All right. So now, 8 lines down. Tashma, and this is going to be the nail in the coffin for Rava. It's very unusual, but nail in the coffin for Rava. Tashma, the Am Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Shmuel ben Yehotzadak. Rabbi Yochanan says halacha in the name of Rabbi Shmuel ben Yehotzadak, where he thinks it's a Tana. It says on the side it should be Rabbi Shimon ben Yehotzadak. Minayin la aveda shafanar shingiteris. This we had alluded to yesterday. How do I know if you have something that's lost and it's washed away by the river? It's mutar to everybody. Got washed away by the river. Siman, no siman. Anybody can take it anymore. He says, "Dechtiv b'chein taseh l'chamaro, b'chein taseh l'simrato, b'chein taseh l'chol darachicha shekmenu mitzata." He says, "This is what you should do for his chamor. This is you should do for his, in other words, for his your friends in the lost object. Do for his donkey. Return it to him, to his simla, his garment." You'll do for anything he loses, asher tovad mimenu umetzata, to be lost from him and you find it. So the word mimenu is an extra word. The Gemara has a drasha from the word mimenu. That when is there an obligation to return the object to the owner, misha avuda himenu mitzviyesa kol adam, that it's avudam himenu, mimenu, in other words, it's lost to him, but everybody else has got access to it. He says, yatzazu shavudam himenu ba'inam mitzviyesa kol adam, as opposed to something that the river or the ocean washes away, so nobody's had access to it. So then there's no obligation to return it to the original owner. So then the Gemara says, V'isura dumi de hetera, the isur, so that's where, so the heter is when I can keep the object. The isur is when I can't keep the object. So they're both alluded to in the pasuk. There's like a hekesh between both of them. So the heter is when it's washed away in the ocean. The isur, when I find it, and it has a siman, V'isura dumi de hetera, just like the heter, just like the things that were washed away in the ocean or the river, doesn't make a difference if it has a semen or doesn't have a semen. It's mutar to me. But that's on one side of the equation. So, Shari, af isura, so too on the isur side, in other words, the objects that I cannot keep for myself, he says, bein de it basimun, bein de leit basimun, asura. Whether it has a semen or doesn't have a semen, it's prohibited. So how will Rava explain this brisa? So according to Abaye, if there's a siman, everybody agrees I have to do akrasa, so it's asking me. If there's no siman, though, so according to Abaye, there is at least some situations where there's no siman, it's prohibited to me. If I found it and the person did not yet know about it, so it's yeush lamidad. So Abaye has a way to explain the brisa. But according to Rava, if it has no siman on it, so then I'm always allowed to keep it. So the Bryce is bad news for Rava. Tiyufta de Rabba Tiyufta. So Rabba is all upshlok. And as Fern was saying before, and I think someone else said, the Hilchata Kabak Dabai be Yal Kagam. The Gemara says, Allah Kapal Zabaye in Yal Kagam. Let's see the Rashi in Yal Kagam around the 10th narrow line of Rashi. Yal Kagam, Simane Halachot Hein. These are Simanim, like the sort of mnemonic device to remember the halacha that are like Abaye. Yeyush Shlomi Da Dahaka. So number one is our Sugya. Ye Yaal, Yud. Yeyush Shlomi Da. So Abaye says, Lo Habi Yeyush. He says, and then the ayin is Ezomein Lamafrei Hu Nifsal B'Sanhedrin. Abaye comes out with a machmir in these situations. In other words, Ezomein Lamafrei Hu Nifsal means, let's say Reuven, you know, gave testimony in a case in Kislev, and then in Sivan, and then in the meantime, then he gave Eidos in cases in Tebe and Shvat and Adar, and then in other words, he was testifying in different cases as an aid, a witness. No, listen, Kislev. Okay. So, and then in Nisan, this is what I was up to. In Nisan, he's proved that he's an aid zomein for the testimony that he gave in Kislev. So Abai says aid zomein mafrei hu nifsal. So now he became pasul as an aid retroactively. So all the aids he gave between, you know, Kislev and Nisan is going down the pipe. That's the way Abai. This is machloket whether it's the mafrei hu nifsal or not. The Abai holds the mafrei hu nifsal. So that's that case. So we have two down. So he says aid zomein hu nifsal b'sanhedrin. Then lechi omei me'la be'erubin. Lechi omei me'la be'erubin is, if you remember, with the mavui, you need a lechi or a korah at the entrance of the mavui. Let's say the lechi happened to be there. I didn't put the lechi up to be the shame, you know, carrying out. It's just there was a lechi or something that could be a lechi. I think Abaye holds lechi is good. Lechi omeilav is a good lechi. And then, okay, then the fourth, so that's ya'al. That's yeush and eid zomeim and lechi. Okay, then kagam, the kuf. And I don't know what the order is about because the Eid Zomim is here in Babatzia and then the other ones are elsewhere. But then the Kuf is Kedushin Shlonim through Labiya B'Kedushin. It means if a person was Mekadesh, one of two sisters, but he doesn't know which sister he was Mekadesh, could be both sisters appointed one person to be a Shliach, and he was Mekadesh. Nobody remembers which one he was Mekadesh. So the question is, that's Kedushin Shlonim through Labiya. So those are Kedushin. He had Kedushin with somebody. But he can never have bia with either sister because either sister would either be heter or prohibited, achod ishto, which is the number of the raios. So kiddushin shlomim tzuruh, is that considered kiddushin or not? I.e., does the woman require a get? In other words, if it's kiddushin shlomim tzuruh the bia, so Abaye holds that she does require a get. I think he says that kiddushin shlomim tzuruh is kiddushin. Okay, so we're down in four. Then kagam gimel yidui da tabagita begitin. You may recall this as a person appoints somebody to deliver the get, and then like he walks in the house. He doesn't say it's canceled. He says the guy says, you know, I tried to live with your wife, but I couldn't get a hold of her. And the person says Baruch Hashem. So is that considered a cancellation of his ability to give the get? So he holds Gilui Das not enough to cancel the get. In other words, he has to actually cancel and say I'm revoking it. And then Mumoch on the Bale Lahakis Pasulin and Aid of Sanhedrin, Mukhak on the Bale Lahakis, in other words, he eats the Velos, you know, non kosher food Lahakis, so he's possible for Aidus. That's like Abaye. Okay, so back in the Gemara. So around 20 lines down on Kuf Bezim and Bez. So Amalei Ravach Marid Rabba Ravashi, Bachini Afar di Toto Rabba. So since Rabba is all shluck, upper shluck, so Mamela, so Yesh told me that law of a Yesh. So it's not Yesh. So Hani Tamari Dzika Hefi Aklinlu. How do we eat dates that fall off these trees? In other words, the owner doesn't know that the dates fell off the tree. So that's Yeh Shlomi Dad. How are we able to eat these dates? Now the emes is that Rava would say. Remember, we said that yesterday we had about the Zayat, but it would all be true with any fruit that it can be recognized from the color where it came from. So it is a siman, right? The Gemara said yesterday. So, right. So, in other words, right. So, why? No, right. So, let's go back. Rashi's got it. Let's see the Rashi. He says, Even Rava wasn't up to Shvat. So even if Rava wouldn't have been ugly Shvat, we could have asked that question. Definitely prohibited, but even if it doesn't have a simon, you know, we can ask the question. So the Gemara says, Amar Lahu, since they're like insects or anyway, say vermin in the arts or whatever, anyway, crawling creatures that eat these fruit, so the owner from the get-go, he's miyayish any fruit that fall off the tree because it's not going to be hanging around there. So the Gemara says, fine. Yat made labanet v'chilin in humai. What if the owner was a yatom, is like below bar mitzvah, so he can't even make anything hefker. So what do we do? Like if the owner was a yatom, right? In other words, his hefker is yesh, not a yesh. He says katanim shein hefker and hefker. So the Gemara says, so amar lei. So the so this is Rav Acha b'rei d'Rav. It's Rav Ashi. So Rav Ashi says to him, baga bar diabim l'machaskinan. In other words, we don't assume. In other words, we're finding, you're walking along, you're finding these dates or whatever. You don't have to assume that maybe it came from a yatom. You could say you got a whole valley of people, so we don't know. We don't know which tree belongs to the yatom. We don't know if any tree belongs to the yatom. So I sometimes said that it's fake sveka. So I don't know if this. I don't know if a felhorn tree was owned by yatom, and I don't know if any trees were owned by yatom. It says muktzak ba'omid mai. What if we know that this tree was owned by yatom? Or karathamai, what if the tree is surrounded by a stone wall and prevents like the nasty creatures from getting hold of it? So amarle, I see right. He said in those circumstances would be prohibited. Okay, now let's see the last again, and then that'll be it. Okay, prechuk or should a rabbi mail shlo. So in the Mishnah we learn if a person has small sheaves that are in the rishus rabbim, and so the finders keepers, whoever finds it gets to keep it in the Mishnah. Yeah, so amarabba. Rabba says, even if the small sheave had a siman on it, you know, maybe put like some badge on it or something like that, the finder nevertheless gets to keep it. He says, Rabba holds, as if a siman was in the Rishus HaRabim, people stamp on things. So the owner, having dropped this item, will think, yeah, I had a siman on it, but it's not going to be around because after, you know, like it's like Grand Central Station. So the fact that I have a semen is not going to hold me in good stead. So he makes yesh on it. So you keep it. That's the way Rabbi understands it. He says, Rabbi Amar, lo shanu d'var she'ein bo semen. Rabbi says, no. The halacha in the Mishnah is talking about only if it didn't have a semen on it. But with d'var she'ein bo semen, chayav l'hakrus. Rabbi holds, if it's something that has a semen on it, so the finder is obligated to do hakrus, and he cannot keep it. So al miksav Rabbi, semen asuli daris habi semen. So it sounds like Rabbi holds that even if it's a siman, which in all likelihood would get stomped on, but it sounds like the owner, he projects, does not make yeish, and the owner still puts hope that the siman will be there and the person makes hakras. So we have a machlok between Rabba and Rabba. What is the Mishnah talking about? According to Rabba, our Mishnah is talking about even if it has a siman. According to Rabba, no, it's only talking about there's no siman. Some people learn this machlok between Rabba and Rabba, not on our Mishnah, but as an independent machlok, which the Gemara will connect to our Mishnah. Siman asudli dares. If a siman that, you know, it's made that people will stomp on it, Rabba Amar lo habi siman, Rabba Amar habi siman. So Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, prechoper should rabbi mareilu shalo. If a person found small sheaves or she's rabbi, he gets to keep it. Now, the next few lines are from the next Mishnah. This Mishnah is on Daf Kaf Hey, which is Sunday's Daf. Rishud Yachid, no tell umachris. And the Rishud Yachid, in the same case, so it depends what you found in Rishus HaRabim or Rishus HaYachid. So in the Rishus HaRabim, you get to keep it. You get to keep it. But in the Rishus HaYachid, then you have to do HaKraza. So, hey, Chidami, Idle Behu Siman, if there's no Siman on the item, Rishus HaYachid, my Machris. So that's again, so Rabba said that, that's Rabba's Pshat. Rabba said the Mishnah is talking about there's no Siman. But now if we link up this Mishnah with the next Mishnah, it's like one continuum. So it's saying the same item you found in Rishus HaRabim you get to keep. Rishus HaYachid, you have to be machriz. So if it's talking about that it has no siman, the way Rava propounds, He says, my makris, what do you, what's the gachras? No siman. El lab, the siman. Is it not that indeed there is a siman that's a support for Rabba, kash against Rabba? Because Tanya B'shut Rabba and Reilu Shalom, and we're learning that even though it has a siman, like Rabba says, it should Rabba get to keep it. I'm a siman asuli daris, lo avi siman, tiyuf to the Rabba. So now Rabba is apkishlak, like we said. So Amalak Rabba, Rabba would respond to you, Yolam Dleipu Siman. No, I stand by my guns. The pshat in the Mishnah is it had no Siman. But the Ka'amri Bershliyachid my Makris. So in the Shliyachid, what is he Makris if no Siman? So Makris Makom. He's going to be Makris, the place where he found it, the specific location where he found it. Now, there's a Makhlok between Rashi and Tosfos. According to Rashi, he announces, I found something in this location. And the person says, what it was. Or the person says, I found this, and then you come and tell me exactly where I found it. But anyway, Makom is a Siman. Rabba Amar Makom lo havi Siman. Rabba holds that a Makom is not a Siman. De Itmar, now we're going to go through a different Makom between Rabba and Rabba, but whether Makom is a Siman. De Itmar, Makom, Rabba Amar lo havi Siman. Rabba says, not a Siman, Rabba Amar havi Siman. So Tashma, now we're going to learn a Brisa, and this Brisa is going to be difficult, both according to Rabba and Rabba. The Brisa is commenting on our case in the Mishnah, both this Mishnah and the Mishnah Chaf Hei, but elaborates on the situation a little bit more. Tashma, kricho b'rishudarabim, if a person found small sheaves in shudarabim, harelu shalo, he gets to keep it. So, according to Rabba, that's even if it has a semen. He says, b'rishudayachid no tel makri. So far, so good, according to Rabba. The ha'alumot, b'im b'rishudarabim, b'rishudayachid no tel makri. The big sheaves, when Rishus Rabbi Rishus Yachid, you have to be Makris. So according to Rabbah, it's not going to work out so well because Rabbah says it's something with a Siman, but he says Siman Asuli Dari is not a Siman, but the Alumo would also be Asuli Dari. So how is he going to explain it? And then Rabbah holds that it's with Makom, so Makom in the Rishus Rabbi not. In other words, that's the way Rabbah could say it. In Rishus Yachid, yes. But then the Alumo, what Makom is with Alumo, it's also in Rishus Rabbi. So Rabba Hekim Itarisla, but Rabba Hekim Itarisla. So how will Rabba explain this Brisa? How will Rabba explain the Brisa? So Rabba Mitarisla Tame B'Siman. Rabba is going to explain the Brisa with his Svara that's working well from Siman. The Rabba Mitarisla Tame B'Makom. Rabba is going to explain it with using Makom. Rabba Mitarisla Tame B'Siman. So this is going to Siman shot. Kricho B'Shud Rabbi Merel Shalo Mishum. The medrasa. In other words, people stomp on it. So it's siman hasu the dares. So the person makes yesh on it. Bershudiyachid do til machri is the medrasa. Bershudiyachid, so people don't step on it so much. In other words, like very, very, you know, rarely people go over there. The ha'alumot, the big sheaves, bershudiyachid, bershudiyachid, no til machri is, even the gvion, since they're larger, lo medrasa. People don't stomp on it. So Rabba has a way to explain the brisa according to his pshat. The Rabba Mataritz of Tame, and Rabba also has a way to spend the price according to his Svara, the Makom. Krikoper should Rabbim, Harel Shalo. If I have the small sheaves of Shudrabim, they'll find it gets to keep it, the Menashtifa, because they get moved around. So Makom is not a Siman, it start off here, ends up at the other corner or whatever. So it's not a Siman. Rishud Yachid, they have Lakris, no Menashtifa. In the Rishud Yachid, it doesn't get pushed over, and then it is a Siman. But Ha'alumot, name of Shudrabim Shudrayakid, large sheaves, like Shudrabim Shudrayakid, no till makris, even the akire, since they're so heavy, lo menashtifa. They won't get moved around. So you'll be okay with that. Okay, let's do a little story and then that'll be it. What? All right, so on Shabbos, you know what time we went? So I think on Shabbos, I think 5:40 on Shabbos, this is 5:40. Okay, on today's daf, we find halacha is Yesh Lamidah. Is low aviyah, and the finder of lost object does not acquire it if the owner does not know that the object seems irretrievably lost. The She'eris Menachem Zitzal learns a very inspiring lesson from our Gemara. The She'eris Menachem, I think he was a Hasidic Rebbe, he survived World War II, and I told you, or maybe I mentioned to my Chumash class, so he wrote this book, She'eris Menachem, and the way I remember, he went to Paris after the war, and so I wanted to look at the Sefer. This is years ago. So I went to YU because we got like every Sefer under the sun. And it was on the shelf. And I opened the Sefer. And in the Sefer, there was a letter from the author. But it was like a mimeograph thing. It was a four photocopy mimeograph thing. And asking for like a contribution for the Sefer type of thing. Anyway, it was in the Sefer. Anyway, so he says here, he says, one can explain that giving up Yeish is not from Das, this way's lack one. In other words, Man Chasidim, the worst thing you could do in life is like Yeish, like give up hope. That's the worst thing. He says, so Yeish Shlomi Dad, a true Bar Das, someone with genuine understanding, will never give up and always encourage himself to serve Hashem no matter what. So he says, so you know, his Yeish is Shlomi Das. You know, Yeish always displays a lack of understanding. So he says here, the Kutzke Rebbe adds, the reason why one can acquire another's property only after despair is because one really has no right to give up at all. He should trust that Hashem will help him recover what was taken from him. Therefore, if he gives up, he loses his right to his property. One must never give up. Someone once asked the Maharal Zitzal, why should one acquire what is not his property? Why does the Torah make distinction if one who lost the object gave up or not? The Maharal explains, we must know that our money is not like our body or soul. Our body and intellect are ours for our entire stay in this world. They are the primary means through which we fulfill Hashem's will in this world. With our possessions, there is a difference. Sometimes people have ample money. Other times, they hardly get by. However, since we must usually work to make money, it is easy to fool ourselves into thinking that one's money is also part of him like his own body. We must learn that it is only Torah and mitzvot that have real lasting value. If money remained in one's possession, no matter what, it would be that much easier to mistakenly attribute more value to it than it really has. So in other words, the fact that a person can yeish and that the Torah recognizes not his, it teaches you what's really yours, and what's, in other words, your body is yours, what you know is yours, your money's not yours. He concludes, and if one will claim that it's only still only proper for the finder to return a lost object that is actually the halacha, it really is fitting to return any lost object, even that which lacks an identifying mark. Yet Torah refrains from obligating us to do so in order to teach us to distance ourselves from too much attachment to money, since you can't take it with you. Thank you. Let me just...